Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 28 September, 2025, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are studying the essence of God. We are on the omniscience of God. And I missed one thing this morning before we got started. The Oregon Ducks beat number 3, Penn State, at Penn State. They beat them. Go Ducks, go. Had to get that in there. Oregon has a very good team this year. Not quite as good as the Montana Grizzlies, but no, right there. All right. The last point we had is every minute detail of both angelic and human history is completely in God's omniscience at all time. Peter said in John 21, verse 17, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Now, God does not have eyes. That's an anthropomorphism. Using the eyes to illustrate that God sees everything and therefore God knows everything. No creature is hidden from His sight because He is the omniscient God and He knows everything. Everything about us. 1 Samuel 2, verse 3. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is the all-knowing God, and with Him actions are weighed. And Jeremiah 16, verse 17. My eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their sin concealed from my eyes. So, 8. God is infinite wisdom and understanding. God is infinite wisdom and understanding. Therefore, You can't say this, and I hear this from no one understands me. You ever said that? No one understands me. Oh, you only knew. You can't say that no one understands you, because God understands you perfectly at all times. Even better than you understand yourself. God totally understands you. So, let's turn over and see a few passages. How about, first of all, 1 Samuel chapter 16. We've seen this one before. 1 Samuel 16. This is when the Lord sent Samuel to pick out a new king. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And then turn over to Psalm 44. Psalm 44. Psalm 44, verse 20. If we had forgotten the name of our God, or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God have discovered it? Since he knows the secrets of your heart. Turn to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 4. He, the living and true God, determines the number of the stars, and he calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. He's the omnipotent God. His understanding has no limit. It's infinite. His knowledge is infinite. Turn over to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse 19. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. And then look over to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 21, for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. And then turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the emotions to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. And then Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51, verse 15. Jeremiah 51, verse 15. He made the earth by his power, that's the omnipotence of God. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding, the omniscience of God. And turn over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. And then 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John 3, verse 20. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. So God is infinite wisdom and understanding. All of these passages say that infinity, related to the omniscience of God, means there never was a time when God did not know everything that is knowable about every creature and every natural phenomena. So 9, God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning. Turn over to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 9. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And then just turn over to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verse 9. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose, the divine decree, will stand, and I will do all that I please. Now, you might notice that many of these passages about the omniscience of God are written by Old Testament prophets. And this is because Israel was always complaining. Complain, complain, complain. They were always complaining that no one understood them and that God had abandoned them. And therefore, they needed to understand, as we do, that there never was a time, and there never will be a time, when you will have a thought, a motive, or make a decision that God did not know about completely billions and billions of years ago. He knew about it in eternity past. So, omniscience and the free will of man. Omniscience and the free will of man. One, God knows the function of every free will. How does he know that? Well, first of all, when he created us, he gave us a volition. He gave us a volition to resolve the angelic conflict. He gave us a volition to either choose for him or against him. And so he gave us a free will. God knows the function of every free will. You all have a free will. You were free to assemble here this morning or not? Not to assemble. You were free to stay home. Some stayed home. Some used their freedom to assemble. You have freedom to do that. You have freedom to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have freedom to reject Jesus Christ. You have freedom to believe the Word of God. You have freedom to reject the Word of God. God gave you a volition to use to resolve the angelic conflict. And you can make good decisions or bad decisions with that volition. So God knows the function of every free will. God knows that we have a free will. He's the one who gave it to us when he created us. He knows which way our volition will decide in every situation of life. Although he never interferes with free will, God is gracious and all-wise, and therefore he does not merely sit on the sidelines. So, two, he may determine which choice is made by his gracious influence. What gracious influence is that? Well, it's from the Word of God that you learn and believe. And when you learn and believe the Word of God, then the Word of God in your heart motivates you to fulfill the mandates of God's Word. So, this may be done through the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. It's also done through the filling of God the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Spirit. And through the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God in your soul, you obey the mandates of the Word of God. And that's God's gracious influence through His Word and the filling of the Spirit. Or through His control of the variables of life that are beyond human control. Three, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And it is the absolute best plan for your life. Because it's based on His omniscience. God has a plan for your life. And it is the absolute best plan for your life. Because it is based on His omniscience. This means there is no way we can improve on God's plan for our life. There's no way we can improve on God's plan for our life. Now everybody, there's a lot of Christians that they make their own plan. And they think their plan's better than God's plan. They're smarter than God. And they're going to do their plan. And really, when they do that, they're just following Satan. Satan's the one who, he set the standard for doing that. He thinks he has a better plan than God has. So God has a plan for your life, and it is the absolute best plan for your life because it's based on His omniscience. And this means there is no way we can improve on God's plan for our life. Four, you have a choice. You have a choice to execute God's plan for your life, which is the absolute best plan for your life. and has your best interest in mind, you have a choice to execute God's plan for your life, which is the absolute best plan for your life, and has your best interest in mind, or you can choose to follow your plan. You can choose to follow your plan because you think your plan is better than God's plan. That's why God gave you a volition, free will. 5. If we choose not to follow God's plan for our life, His plan goes right along without us. If we choose not to follow God's plan for our life, His plan goes right along without us. Now, Satan is the best illustration of what happens to someone who thinks he's smarter than God. The devil's entire strategy boils down to an attempt to outsmart, second guess, and outmaneuver God. That's Satan. He's got a better plan than God does. Satan thinks he has a better plan than God's plan, and he wants to put it into effect, and he wants to take God's place. The result of Satan's brilliant and arrogant efforts to improve on God's plan is the confusion and evil we find in the world today. Eventually, Satan's rival plan will result in his own destruction and in the lake of fire forever. Now, while believers will never see the lake of fire, their imperfect and unwise plans will create misery for themselves and misery for others. Now, omniscience and man. Omniscience and man. One, we continue to learn as long as we live on this earth, but God has never had to learn anything. We continue to learn as long as we live on this earth, but God has never had to learn anything. Two, God has always known everything. He has always known everything. Every thought, every motive, every event, and every action of every person in the world. Billions of years before they ever came to pass. So God has always known everything. Every thought, every motive, every event, every action of every person in the world. Before they ever came to pass. Intellect in man is barely more than the capacity to acquire some knowledge. On the other hand, the omniscience of God is all-inclusive and infinite knowledge. Three, no one in the human race can ever begin to approach the infinite wisdom and understanding of God. No one in the human race can ever begin to approach the infinite wisdom and understanding of God. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. Colossians 2:3. In whom Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. However, it is God's intention that every believer come to understand that portion of God's knowledge which He has revealed to us in His Word. Four, omniscience means that nothing can ever be hidden from God. Omniscience means that nothing can ever be hidden from God. Psalm 139, verse 12. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Our sins are not hidden from God. Psalm 69, verse 5. O God, you know my folly. My sins are not hidden from you. 5. God not only knows all your actions, but he also knows all your thoughts. He not only knows all your actions, but he also knows all your thoughts, all your thinking. Ezekiel 11, verse 5, Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel, and he told me to say, This is what the Lord says. That is what you are saying, O house of Israel, but I know what is going through your mind. God knows what you're really thinking. So, practical ramifications of the omniscience of God. Practical ramifications of the omniscience of God. One, the omniscience of God means that the believer has eternal security. The omniscience of God means that the believer has eternal security. Two, if God knows everything, and he does, then obviously nothing can come to light subsequent to our salvation, which he did not know when he saved us. If God knows everything, and he does, then obviously nothing can come to light subsequent to our salvation, which he did not know, already know about, when he saved us. Three, there were no skeletons in the closet which he did not know. There were no skeletons in the closet which he did not completely know about when he invited us to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. No skeletons in the closet which God did not know completely about when he invited us to believe in Christ for eternal salvation. Four, the omniscience of God means that you have no problem which God does not totally know all about. The omniscience of God means that you have no problem which God does not totally know all about. Five, the omniscience of God knows perfectly how to bless you and make you happy, and he knows how to spank you and make you hurt. The omniscience of God. So this morning we studied the omnipresence of God and the omniscience of God. You have to know God before you will ever love God. And next Sunday we will look at the omnipotence of God with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.